I'm Dr. Casey Mixon, Assistant Professor at Valdosta State University's Psychology, Counseling, and Family Therapy Department and Project Director for the Military Families Learning Network Family Development Team. Along with Barry Sobelson, Licensed Family Therapist and MFLN Family Development Programming Coordinator, we invite you to join us for our anchored podcast conversations. We started this podcast in hopes to support and inspire those connected to military families. Each episode focuses on real-life struggles and practical solutions to lessen the harmful ripple effects. We invite you to sit back, relax, and get anchored with us. So today's guest is Dr. Jennifer Dinallo. Jennifer earned her bachelor's degree in exercise physiology from Westchester University and then her master's degree in exercise physiology from East Carolina University, and then went on to receive her PhD in kinesiology from Penn State University. Jennifer worked for the U.S. Marine Corps as a civilian certified fitness instructor and personal trainer at Camp Lejeune in North Carolina, and her research interests include the impact of health promotion behaviors on obesity outcomes, with a focus on parent-focused health promotion interventions. Since joining the Clearinghouse for Military Family Readiness at Penn State in 2010, Jen has led in the development, implementation, and evaluation of several programs and projects serving military families, including the Thrive Initiative, which we are going to be discussing today. Coincidentally, during last year's MFLN virtual conference session, Navigation Skills, Charting Your Course Through Organizational, Social, and Cultural Change, Barbara Thompson and Judy Deckel twice cited Clearinghouse as a key resource for both professionals working with military families and for military families themselves. And as a retiree of the DoD's Office of Family Readiness Policy and a former Air Force officer in social work, respectively, Thompson and Deckel's experience with military families speaks volumes about this recommendation. The Thrive Initiative was emphasized by Barbara Thompson as one of the top three most important and beneficial resources for military families to get parents and children off to a good start and reach their full potential. So welcome today, Dr. Dinallo. We are excited that we were able to connect and that you generously offered to speak with us today.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. Excited to talk about Thrive.
Well, good. That's what we want you to do. Talk it up. So how about we start with you telling us what it was that prompted the development of this Thrive initiative? What is Thrive? What was the evolution of Thrive, if you will?
Sure. Thanks. So Thrive stemmed from a need for consistent programming that the DoD was interested in having developed. If I backtrack a couple of years, we started a subunit of the Clearinghouse for Military Family Readiness called the Resource Center for Obesity Prevention. There was interest in us looking at existing programs that either prevented or intervened in childhood obesity. And we've been working on that initiative at the Clearinghouse for the past 3 to 4 years now. Since then, we've vetted and placed on our continuum of evidence over 350 programs that exist. And just to note, in order to be a program at the Clearinghouse, one that we vet on our continuum, there has to be a manual. So something that practitioners and clinicians can follow in implementing this program. And what we do at the Clearinghouse is just, I'm digressing a little bit, but what we do is look at the evidence behind those programs and we place them on our continuum of evidence, which is just what it sounds like. It indicates how much peer-reviewed research that's been done supporting the program itself. So that is, the research indicates, does this program yield the outcome that it was intended to yield? And this is really important information for folks who want to use a program. It's important for them not to only understand what are the components of the program and what the program says it does, but what's the evidence behind it. So like I said, the Resource Center and then research scientists in the Research Center have been vetting obesity prevention intervention programs for the past 3 to 4 years and stumbled across the program that we were really excited about a few years back. And it really basically showed that if you intervened in parenting behaviors, you could impact health-promoting behaviors of children. Specifically, we're talking about behaviors like eating fruits and vegetables, minimizing screen use. We're talking about reducing or eliminating sweetened beverages and being physically active. So these are the things that we're really focusing on, and that in the past, when we look at across all of the programs that exist, including parenting programs, we don't see evidence of programs that are promising or effective, evidence of these health promotion techniques or strategies included in these parenting programs. So we became really interested in one particular program and shared this information with our partners at the Department of Defense, and they were very interested as well and indicated that we would start developing parenting programs across the lifespan of a child. So that is from birth through age 18. And we were able to really look at what exists out there and what we needed to do in moving forward. And this became our Thrive Initiative. And the Thrive Initiative is actually broken down into four developmentally appropriate parenting program areas. Specifically, we have Take Root, which is a parenting program that's been developed for parents of 0 to 3 year olds. Next is Sprout, and that's for parents of 3 to 5 year olds. Then we have Grow, which is for parents of 5 to 10 year olds or elementary school age children. And then finally, our last program area is called Branch Out, and that is for parents of 10 to 18 year olds. Each of these areas are in different developmental stages in terms of program development, implementation, evaluation, and we're even doing some adaptations of our program for delivery in different modes. So for example, Grow has been developed for face-to-face implementation with a group of parents. It's also been developed online in a self-paced online format for parents. So we're really excited about that. One really important aspect of this is that the Department of Defense, specifically we work with military, community, and family policy. They're very interested in us developing this program using our evidence-based approach, which I think I'm going to talk about a little bit later. But they wanted this program to be available to all military families and civilian families at no charge. So that's that was wonderful. A really important piece of this initiative.
Yeah, that's absolutely wonderful. So how can one access it, whether they're military families or civilian?
So currently we have a website that is thrive.psu, as in Penn State University.edu, and this is where we house all of the materials that we've developed. As we develop programs, so like I said before, they're all in different stages of development, but as the program becomes fully developed and as we beta test the program for program improvement reasons, and then we turn it into our next phase, which is a pilot study, we actually reach out and advertise for folks to participate in these programs. With our first program that we developed, which was Grow, we actually started by implementing in 2 civilian communities in Pennsylvania as a beta test. Mm-hmm. Some pretty nice results. We learned a lot about the program itself and about program implementation and evaluating that program. And we were able to take a couple months and do some program improvement. And then we moved on to implementing a pilot of Grow face-to-face, which again is for parents of 5 to 10 year olds in military communities around the world. So that was really exciting. And we've just kind of completed that phase of the Grow implementation. But again, these programs are available, and specifically the program materials and resources are available at no charge for both military and civilian families and can be found on our Thrive website. We also have an area on the website where you can contact us to request materials or to inquire about where the programs are in terms of being available to participate in.
So for instance, when you're talking about Grow and the resources for this particular programming, can you give us an example of if I went to the website and I'm specifically looking at the resources for Grow and have access to it, what are some of the types of things that I would find?
So you would find an overview of the Thrive Initiative. You would also find an overview of each particular program. So Grow being one of those, we have resources that have been developed specifically for parents of 5 to 10 year olds. The 4 that are consistent across all program areas are Breathe to Thrive, which talks about stress management, Cooking to Thrive, which has some recipes and it talks about healthy eating and the preparation of healthy foods, et cetera, all the way down to packing healthy lunches for your kids. So really great resource there. The 3rd one is Moving to Thrive, which gives parents and caregivers some really great examples of how to provide opportunities to become physically active for your family, particularly in risky times, like when it's raining out, or if you're stuck in a hotel room, or say you're having a play date with your child and you're trying trying to think of something good to do. So that's another resource. And finally, we have a resource called Resources to Thrive. So these are some resources for parents that they might need across the board. So if you think about anything from healthy eating to suicide prevention, anything that you can imagine, there are universal resources there. And then if a facilitator is delivering a face-to-face program, that facilitator would also then be encouraged to add local resources to this particular handout for parents. So these four resources, again, like I mentioned, are consistent across all four program areas, but they have unique aspects that are specific to parents of kids in that age group. Some other things that you might find on our website are blogs. We publish two blogs a month, anything from how to get your kids to eat more fruits and vegetables to why hand washing is important. We also write some military-specific blogs that we highlight on our website. In addition to that, we do a quarterly newsletter that shows the update for the program development, implementation, and evaluation, as well as sites where the programs are being implemented. So that's something that you can download right off of our website as well.
Jennifer talks about the wide array of topics covered with their bi-monthly blogs. So we thought we would share the details of some of these great blogs that they have to offer. In October of 2017, they published How to Talk to Children About Cancer, which highlights tips on having difficult conversations about health issues in the family. In November 2017, they focused on strategies for buying food on a tight budget. Who doesn't need help with that? In the beginning of 2018, one of my favorite titles for their blog series was Gulp! My Child is Dating! Where the important role parents play in navigating new relationships in safe and healthy ways was addressed. February's blog addressed bedwetting in children and when parents should get started getting their child's teeth checked. They also have quarterly newsletters with updates and information on the Thrive Initiative. Visiting their website may be helpful as they address a myriad of topics and provide lots of resources.
You can also reach out for assistance if you're interested as a community member or a facilitator in implementing one of our programs. You can reach out to us to access the information. We have developed an online facilitator training. So if what you really want to do is to deliver a program in a face-to-face format, we have online facilitator training available, and we can help you access that and help take you through the training. And we also have, for the programs that have been developed and are ready to be utilized, the Thrive website is the place where you will enter the gateway into the online parenting program. So currently our Grow online program is available, and we will actually be moving into a pilot test of that in the next couple months.
As Jennifer relayed, the Grow program, as of this podcast airing, is currently available. Jennifer will be giving us more insight into this particular facet of Thrive in a webinar that the MFLM Family Development Team is hosting. This will be taking place on August 16th, 2018 at 11 a.m. If you don't get a chance to join us live, it will be archived for your viewing convenience. Jennifer will go more in depth into the Grow program and ways in which it assists parents of 5 to 10-year-olds learning positive parenting techniques, stress management strategies, and health promotion skills that can be used to help children be happy and healthy. For more info, visit our MFLN Family Development website and look under webinars.
And we are getting ready to launch our Take Root online program, which again is for parents of 0 to 3-year-olds.
And Grow again is 5 to 10-year-olds, right?
Grow is 5 to 10. So I mentioned four program areas, and they are all in some level of development. Grow is our most developed program and has the most resources available. And Take Root is the next up-and-coming program that's getting ready to be tested.
Nice. And who came up with these creative, well, I'm a gardener and I love any kind of like metaphors or anything that has to do with gardening, I get really excited about. So this is right up my alley. Thank you very much. Who do I say thank you to? Who came up with these innovative names for the program?
Brainstorming on what this was going to look like. And this just with the research scientists that we work with at the Clearing House, we came up with a bunch of ideas and we actually proposed them to our partners at Military Community and Family Policy, who are actually quite creative and innovative. And so it was a very fun process coming up with this. But you're right, it ended up working. It has a little bit of an ag background, a little bit of a gardening feel, but it really makes sense. And if you parenting perspective, and the age groups or the program areas and the age groups that they're covering, it makes a lot of sense as you think about an infant all the way up to a child who's getting ready to go to college, right? So thanks for that. That's a huge compliment, and we are excited about Thrive and really understand that it's so important to have these evidence-informed programs that are available to folks to use, and we are always very interested and intent on following up with the evaluation of these programs with different populations to better understand their effectiveness. But it's also important to have really good materials that people are interested in looking at and reading, and blogs and newsletters and things like that that keep our website and our program areas fresh and dynamic, constantly moving, constantly keeping up with the new research that's out there. So that's really exciting too.
So in a sense, you're growing too, as this initiative is growing, as it gets more information on evidence-based research that informs the various programming and resources that you're providing. That's really wonderful.
Absolutely. That kind of leads me into how we develop these programs. You might ask, and I mentioned this a little bit in the beginning, but you might ask why we're developing new programs. There are a lot of programs out there that exist around parenting. What I would say to that is that most of the programs that have been developed that are evidence-based, meaning there are peer-reviewed publications that are supporting the outcomes. Many of them, if not most of them, were developed sometime in the 80s, early 90s. And while these programs do have a large amount of evidence, they're missing one key piece, and that is the health promotion piece. So our three domains that the Thrive Initiative covers across all program areas is positive parenting practices, stress management, behaviors both for parents and kids, and then child health promotion. And the child health promotion piece is a relatively new piece when you look at evidence-based parenting programs. So again, talking about things that parents can do on a day-to-day basis, things they're really already doing. The Thrive Initiative, the programming behind that, is really intended to help parents do them better. So if you think about providing fruits and vegetables to your kids, we hear a lot about these types of things on the news. What should we believe? What shouldn't we believe? What are the best practices? Well, in the Thrive Initiative, we use evidence-informed practices that parents can utilize and implement on a day-to-day basis across eating strategies, across the promotion of physical activity, and across managing screen time for their families. And these are three key areas that are really important and that you're going to have to do anyway as a parent. So why not use some of these evidence-informed strategies to do them? And that's what Thrive has pulled in to the curriculum from Take Root through Sprout into Grow, as well as what will be part of Branch Out. Clearly, the strategies will vary by the age of the child, but they will be consistent in terms of supporting the recommendations that exist out there.
Right.
So we're really excited about that piece of it.
Yeah, and especially the health promotion piece being woven throughout all of these different phases. And it sounds like, too, just based on your background, I can imagine that the health promotion component is near and dear to your heart as well. Is that one of the reasons that you came on board to Thrive?
That's a great question, because clearly, as you introduced me, my background is not in parenting. My background is in promoting health behaviors through parenting. And this is one of the reasons why I was sort of at the forefront of the development of these programs. One thing to mention about that is the key word over the past, let's say, 10 to even maybe getting into close to 20 years now has been obesity prevention or obesity intervention. And what we really need to acknowledge is that we are all at risk for some of these behaviors that are not health promoting. And the Thrive Initiative houses universal parenting programs. So we're looking at strategies and practices that are applicable to all parents, not just parents who have children who are overweight or parents who have children who have behavioral problems. The strategies and the practices that are taught within the Thrive Initiative program areas are applicable to all parents. And they are things that all parents can pull from different areas that they need to strengthen what they're already doing as a parent. So when we talk about some of these things that I just mentioned, like supporting physical activity behaviors and enhancing our feeding strategies as parents, we need to really focus on this as promoting the health of our families, not necessarily on the negative side of it, which is preventing something bad from happening. So it's a really positive twist on things that, like I said before, what parents are already doing on a day-to-day basis. And just some examples, and I'll use Grow as an example because it's one of our most well-developed programs so far and has been tested a couple of times. We teach things like bedtime routine strategies, which every parent of a 5 to 10 year old does. And we talk about things like reducing screen time at least an hour before bedtime, setting routines so that our children, as well as you as parents, get into the habit of doing things the same way each day, which tends to yield better results. Behavior management, stress management practices that are positive and healthy. So all of these things have been implemented into the Thrive Initiative as very positive health promoting behaviors that are strength-based, so they are enhancing things that parents are already doing well.
I really like the idea of this, and I know you talked about that Thrive provides information about free services, and it's offered to both military and civilian parents, but I also see a lot of opportunity for professionals and helping capacities that work with families, that work with parents, whether they're military parents or civilian parents, to be able to access this if they're doing kind of like new parent support or coaching or have some sort of advocacy or supportive role, even in the mental health professions, therapists who are kind of strategizing healthy strategies, stress relieving strategies can go on your site. And it seems like have just all of these resources that they can implement or infuse or offer to the people that they are working with, the parents that they're working with. Was that intentional in it being kind of having the secondary audience other than parents, like the professionals that work with parents?
Absolutely. The professionals who work with military families are actually our first level of our target population or our priority population at the Clearinghouse. Most of everything that we do at the Clearinghouse is really aimed at professionals who work with military families. So while the programs are parenting programs, these resources and programs are really developed for folks to use with the families they work with, whether it's military or civilian. And yeah, you're right. While we do have these programs available that parents can sign up for, specifically the online programs that are parent self-paced programs, or whether it's a face-to-face program that a facilitator professional would actually be delivering to a group of parents, we do have these other pieces on our website that will keep the information up to date and keep our website dynamic so parents will want to come back time and time again, and professionals can come back and pull information from our website to use with the populations that they serve.
That's really interesting. I love that you mentioned that you had this one part, the Clearinghouse's initiative for professionals that work with military families, but then what grew, if you will, out of it was this particular Thrive program. And it's exciting that I can't get over the free access, you know, of really evidence-driven, well-researched practice that we know that works and can be trusted.
The idea that the materials for Thrive Initiative are free for military families and professionals to take and use is a really important piece of this. The Department of Defense wanted high-quality access to evidence-based material for families to use and access and for professionals to use and access. And that is a really important piece of this. It's why it's so important that we continue to move forward, not only with the development of these programs, but with the evaluation of these programs. And that's a really big piece of what we do. The development's important. We use a common components approach to develop the Thrive parenting program, but it's also important that we continue to evaluate those programs and then share those outcomes with our military partners, with our Department of Defense partners, as well as publish our results so that it's out there and it becomes a more well-known, reliable source for folks to come to and to pull this information and use it. So I think you're right. It's a very important piece of the puzzle here.
As Jennifer talked about this important puzzle piece of the development of the Thrive Initiative, I asked her to share a bit about what she and her team have learned thus far in this whole process.
We're learning a lot. We started with Grow, that took us a little bit longer. And then as we develop new programs, we have a more systematic process down for how we do this. Everything from our common components approach our analyses that we do, all the way to the development of our content, our videos, our resources and materials. You know, it's like anything. Once you do it a couple of times, you kind of get better at it. We've learned a lot of lessons. It's been a really great experience, and I think that we're getting much better at program development, implementation, and evaluation across the past 3 years of having done this. And we never stop learning. I mean, every time we implement with a new population or a new site or a new service or a new community, we learn something that we can take and improve the program. So it's been a great experience. I think it's just a matter of, you know, this kind of idea of continued learning, understanding what really does drive parents to want to participate in these programs, because they're not getting a degree. They're not getting paid to do it, but it is out there for them to use at their leisure. So we want to make them the best products that we can make. Parents want to participate in these programs that we're developing. And so professionals want to use these programs with their populations they serve.
Yeah, and I'm sure, you know, because parents, no one really has a lot of time on their hands to just kind of throw away. So you want something that is engaging and that helps them see results, maybe that they're seeking to promote the well-being of their family, of their children, and of their relationships with their children. So that makes a lot of sense.
Exactly. You know, no matter how great of a parent you are, there's always something you can learn, something you can be reminded of. And we hope that parents will be interested in taking these programs and, you know, and using the strategies. And we feel really good about that because they're evidence-informed strategies and practices that we're introducing, and we're trying to do it in a very creative way so that parents are interested in actually moving through the entire program and coming back again.
Well, you've told us so much about the Thrive Initiative. I'm really excited that you've talked to us about it. I've learned so much about it. And in kind of preparation for, as we were kind of thinking about parent support and resources and this particular podcast, it's just been so lovely for our team to be able to research Thrive and then also obviously hear about it through one of our MFLN virtual conference sessions. It was just really well received and really well regarded. So it put us in a posture of curiosity about what is this? Why haven't we heard about it before? And so I'm glad that it's just getting started, so it's not completely finished and we didn't know about it for years and years. But we definitely are excited to see how it grows, how it evolves over time, and what there is to learn. The other piece that you talked about that really hit home is that it sounds like it comes from a strength-based perspective versus more of a deficit-based interventions, because I think that that can just do the opposite of what we want to do as helping professionals in supporting families when we come from a don't do that instead of here's what you're doing well and maybe here are some other strategies that we can work on that may serve your family,
exactly,
the well-being of your family. So that's really comforting to know that there's an emphasis on the strengths that families already have and that they're being acknowledged, whether they're getting the resources themselves or the people who are providing professional services to them are acknowledging. So that's really wonderful. You're teaching us so much about this initiative. Is there anything that you can think of that we haven't covered that you would like to add?
So I think just a couple of things. We are getting ready to recruit a population of parents of 5 to 10-year-olds for Grow Online. Like I mentioned before, the online version of Grow is the second mode of delivery that we developed. The access will be through our Thrive website. We will be advertising and recruiting participants for this. There'll be a pre-program survey and a post-program survey and then a follow-up survey that we would like people to participate in. If willing, the program is free of charge. There is no charge to participate, and there will be some incentives for completing the evaluation piece if folks agree to do that. That will be coming up over the next couple of months, so stay tuned. We will be outreaching through various venues to recruit parents of 5 to 10-year-olds to participate. And then in addition to that, over the next few months, we will be beta testing our Take Root Online program. The interesting part about Take Root Online is there is a track for parents of 0 to 6 months. There's a track for parents of 6 to 12-month-olds. old, and then finally a track for parents of 1 to 3 year old. And what is really nice about this is the content is really similar. When you look at the programs that exist for parents of 0 to 3 year olds, there are actually quite a few programs out there, but in looking at that, we realized that the strategies and the emphasis needs to really vary. Babies change so much from 0 to 3 that the focus for parents on really what they're thinking and how they're interacting with their children from 0 to 3 definitely changes. So we developed 3 program tracks. That should be really interesting to see how parents like that. We're interested in getting some feedback on that in our beta test, which will happen in the next few months. So parents who might be listening to this, stay tuned, check out our Thrive website, reach out to us, and we will be recruiting for those studies that are coming up.
As many of our listeners already know, MFLN Family Development has a sub-concentration area called Early Intervention. This team is located at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign campus, and they work to enhance the capacity of professionals working with military families who have young children, age range from birth to 5 years old, that struggle but also can and do oftentimes thrive with disabilities and developmental delays. So at this point, I asked her if the Take Root and Sprout programs in Thrive specifically would be a good resource for professionals who work in this early intervention arena.
That's interesting that you asked. So the programs within the Thrive Initiative are really universal parenting programs. So I think my answer to that is probably twofold. One, I don't believe that there's anything within the curriculum that would be harmful to be using with parents of children who have disabilities or are at risk in some way. The risk there is that they may not be starting at the right level. So I guess my answer is I don't know. Sprout hasn't been developed yet. It's actually in development. We're writing the scripts and doing the videos and everything right now as we speak. Take Root is out there. And again, I don't think it would be harmful. I'm just not sure if it would cover all the aspects that might be needed in early intervention. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And this initiative is just getting started and it's in different phases. So it makes sense that you kind of start with a baseline. And then as you grow and as you learn what's working, what may not be working,
right,
then be able to tailor it to the needs of special populations, such as families who have children with special needs.
And then again, just check out our website. It's thrive.psu.edu. We didn't really talk about this in this podcast, but we also have a health promotion campaign that fits really nicely in with our Thrive initiative, and it's called 5210 Healthy Military Children. And we have a website, 5210.psu.edu. We actually use a lot of those strategies and recommendations in our Thrive program curriculum. So you can also check out that website.
While this was not something that we discussed during this particular podcast, Jennifer did briefly mention the 5210 Healthy Military Children campaign, and this campaign fits in nicely with the Thrive Initiative. The web address is 5210.psu.edu. We also wanted to mention that Jennifer provided a webinar on this particular topic for the MFLN Nutrition and Wellness team back in 2015. Here is a short clip of that webinar.
So why 5210? Why was this selected? Why did we start looking for something like this? We wanted a consistent health message to send out there for parents, because there are so many conflicting health messages that we see every day in the news, in the media, wherever we're looking. It seems like there's always something new coming up about what's good for you or what's not good for you. Along with the Department of Defense, we really were searching out this idea of evidence-informed strategies that housed these recommendations that parents could really rely on, and they could take some of these strategies and utilize them at home with their own children. This is a multi-sector approach. In other words, we are not focusing just on a school setting or just on a childcare setting or just on a fitness center setting, but we're really reaching out community-wide to spread a message that is important for people to hear no matter where they are, whether or not they have kids, no matter what age their kids are. And this is really about child health promotion. So it's really promoting the health of children and their families, not preventing or intervening in something negative that's happening, but really promoting health so it's very positive.
If you are interested in hearing more about this campaign, the 5210 Healthy Military Children campaign, and watching the webinar, you can go to learn.extension.org/events/2145, or if you're like me and just want to put it through a Google search, you can go to YouTube and type 5210 Healthy Messaging Campaign in the search bar.
If you have any questions, feel free to email me directly at jmd422@psu.edu.
And yes, and we will make sure to include that on our podcast page that houses supplementary materials. We will put Jennifer's email address in case you'd like to contact her for the wonderful things that she just discussed. Well, I think it's a wonderful name that you came up with, and it sounds like all of the people that you're working with and collaborating with who are doing the development and the evaluations are thriving as well, because you seem to really love what you're doing and are excited about the outcomes and what's next, what's in the future. So that's really heartwarming to hear you so passionate about this initiative. And as we've learned more in our family development team, we've become pretty smitten with the Thrive program. And those that are being developed and will be made available as the research comes out and as we learn more. So we thank you so much for joining us today, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as our team did.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me today.
Before ending this episode, we felt that it was important to talk a little bit more about the Clearinghouse for Military Family Readiness that's housed at Penn State University, since it is really their partnership with the Department of Defense's Office of Military Community and Family Policy that is developing the Thrive Initiative. For our listeners who are unfamiliar with Clearinghouse, it is an applied research center created to help identify, help implement, help evaluate, and also improve programs that assist in strengthening military service members and their families, or the services that are provided to the military service members and their families. These services that Clearinghouse provides offer program evaluation and also assistance with program selection. The folks at Clearinghouse are focused on making sure programs for military families are delivering outcomes and demonstrating value. To do this, their research scientists use systematic and really innovative research methods. The evaluations address critical questions. Some may include how to improve upon an existing project, or questions related to how to improve upon existing projects, or questions that look at how to determine if a program is having the desired impact. Clearinghouse also assists with program selection in helping military service providers to determine which program best fits the specific needs of the families that they're serving. They use a rigorous vetting process for prevention and treatment programs, more than 1,100 to date as of the airing of this podcast. And those assist professionals who work with families, specifically military families. Once reviewed, the programs are then categorized and placed on Clearinghouse's continuum of evidence. And they have an interactive website. You can easily identify programs that suit community and organizational needs. We were fortunate in 2016 to have Dr. Daniel Perkins, who's the director of Clearinghouse and also a professor of family, youth, and resiliency and policy at Penn State. He provided us with a webinar. It was called Pathway to Practice, Incorporating Evidence into Military Family Services. And you can still find that in our archived webinars. This webinar was incredibly informative. It looked at how to bridge the gap between research and practice, and Dr. Perkins highlighted really important information about evidence-based practice and why that's important and how data can be applied to everyday work with clients. Both the Clearinghouse and the Thrive Initiatives were mentioned as important resources in our MFLN 2017 virtual conference. That virtual conference theme was learning through change. And in one particular session, Barbara Thompson talked about the importance of Clearinghouse and the Thrive Initiative.
We need to seek evidence-informed programs, and we try to be very conscientious of that through the Clearinghouse of Military Family Readiness at Penn State University. And thinking of demographic trends, how people receive information, how people want to receive services. It's all ever changing, and we need to be three steps ahead of it. And the idea that families come in many forms and shapes, and we have to be conscientious of that and be able to address those needs. Clearinghouse for Military Families is an excellent resource, and one of the newest projects that we're working on with them is a parenting course called Thrive, and professionals and actually parents, if they're interested, can take the facilitator's course online to be able to offer parenting through birth through age 18 for parents. That is, to me, one of our most important resources, that if we get children off to a good start and parents off to a good start to reach their full potential, we're going to be doing a huge service for military families, because they are not located necessarily near their extended family and may not have an older sister or a mother or father or someone of experience as they are trying to raise their children.
If you're interested in watching this entire session from our 2017 MFLN virtual conference, you can go to YouTube and type in the search bar, BC Navigation Skills, Charting Your Course Through Organizational, Social, and Cultural Change, or you can just go to this podcast webpage and a link will be provided there.
Casey and Jennifer both mentioned in this episode that the Thrive website houses blogs twice monthly. We wanted to read a couple of our favorites to you to give you an idea of the amazing resources they have to share with everyone, covering a wide array of topics. The first is Casey's personal favorite, Gulp, My Child is Dating. When your child says he or she is dating someone, your first response may be panic. But what does dating really mean today? Does it mean kids see each other around school and contact each other via social media? Is dating going out with a group to a party? Is dating one-on-one time alone with someone else? As a parent, you play an important role in helping your child navigate new relationships in safe and healthy ways. The conversations that you have with your child about dating will show him or her how much you care and will also help him or her learn how to set healthy limits for himself or herself. Youth need to learn how to balance family, school, hobbies, and friends. You can help your child achieve an appropriate balance. Dating expectations are going to be very different for every family, as they are rooted in family values. Both parents should agree on dating rules and expectations, and children need to be aware of what those expectations are. So talk. Once parents or caregivers are in agreement, they should openly communicate with their child. Ask your child what it means to be dating so you have an understanding of what he or she is planning or arranging. Then talk about the ground rules. Check in with your child about the following. Whom will he or she be with when going out? Where he or she would like to go? What he or she plans to do there? And when will he or she be home? These who, where, what, and when questions are great for gathering information. Also, don't forget to talk to your child about the need to check in if the plan must change. When you have preteens and teenagers, conversations about sex, including safety and consent, sexually transmitted infections, teen pregnancy, and dating violence should take place on a regular basis. Share information and your concerns. Also, make sure you listen when your youth shares his or her opinions or asks questions. Families will have different views regarding dating and sex, and honestly and openly communicating with your child is a great place to start. Families also need to discuss technology. Sexting, that is, sending, receiving, or forwarding sexually explicit messages, photographs, or images on any digital device, should be discussed. Youth often share very personal things with his or her partner and think that no one else will know about it or see it. However, once shared, there is no way to make this content private again. In some cases, the information that is shared may be illegal. Talking with youth about sexting and not sending sexually explicit materials is a must. For more information about teens, dating, and technology, there are resources at the bottom of this blog. The second blog we would like to share is on the important topic of talking to your children about peer pressure. As your children get older, they will start to care more about what their friends think and how others perceive them. Your child may feel pressured in good ways. For example, he or she may try out for a new sport or start learning how to play an instrument. However, your child might also feel pressured in bad ways, such as skipping class or cheating on a test. These types of activities can have negative impacts on your child's education and academic success. Additionally, your teen may feel pressured into partaking in illicit activities, such as shoplifting, drug use, or underage drinking. The preteen and teenage years can be a challenging time for parents, as they might feel like they are out of touch with their child. Here are some healthy ways to talk to your child about peer pressure and some strategies for your child to overcome it. How to talk to your child. Stay calm. It's important to listen to what your child is telling you and not overreact. Teens just want to be heard and respected, and they may tell you something that you weren't prepared to hear or that you might not like. It is important to acknowledge your child's feelings, listen to them, and encourage them to come up with their own solutions. Talk about what being a friend means. Ask questions about what makes a good friend and if your child feels as if he or she can trust a new person he or she has just met and wants to be around. Ask your teen why this person holds so much power over other people. Encourage your teens to be themselves and find peers who accept them for who they are. Get to know your child's friends. Invite your child's friends over for a sleepover or for dinner. Talk to them about their interests. Showing your child that you are interested and invested in his or her life and friendships may encourage your child to have more honest communication with you. Also, if issues arise with your child's friends, you can talk to their parents and work together to address any concerns. Model saying no. Show your child that it is okay to say no to something you don't want to do. Practice saying no with your child and equip them with the skills he or she will need to follow through when the time comes. Remember to praise and encourage your child when he or she makes healthy choices. Strategies for your child. Pay attention to your emotions and gut feelings. If you feel like something is not right, chances are it isn't. Pay attention to your feelings. The more in tune you are with your emotions, the better you will be at identifying them, staying calm in stressful situations, and remaining in control. Find a friend who also says no. It can be hard to be the only person saying no. Find a friend who is also willing to say no to skipping class or smoking a cigarette and spend time with this person doing something you both enjoy. There is strength in numbers, and you may find that more people may be joining you than going out for a smoke. Talk to someone you trust. If you continue to feel pressured, talk to a teacher, a counselor, a parent, or a friend about the situation. You will find that it's helpful to talk through your emotions with someone you trust and on whom you rely. These people can help you practice saying no, learn to say no in a different way, or help you come up with alternative solutions to saying no. If you'd like additional resources for this blog, they've shared those as well at the bottom. Don't forget to check out these particular blogs and so many more.
Our next podcast episode, titled Handled with Care, Helping Children Cope with Parental Loss, will be released on June of 2018. Our guest for this episode, which will be 13, is Dr. Irene McClatchy. She's a licensed clinical social worker and also an associate professor and director of the MSW program at Kennesaw State University. During this episode, Irene will talk with us about the effects of grief on children and how to effectively work with children in order to help them process the loss of a parent or loved one through illness, injury, or death. Here's a brief clip of this episode.
I often tell people when they ask or say, I don't know what to say. Well, say just that. A bereaved child needs support. So a pat on the shoulder saying you're sorry shows that you care, but you don't want to question a child about their loss. But if they talk, you need to listen. So acting if nothing happened is confusing, and that invalidates what the child is feeling. And if you know the parent, you may want to add that you're sorry and you knew their dad and he was a good man or friend or whatever positive thing you can think of. But having said that, there are a couple of things that I strongly recommend that you do not say, and that is, I know how you feel. Even if you lost a parent when you were a child, you don't know how this child feels unless you ask or they tell you. Even though I lost my father to a heart attack, I don't know what it's like for some other child to lose their father to a heart attack. I don't know the relationship with their dad. I don't know the circumstances.
Sure.
And then I also encourage that they don't say, God doesn't give you more than you can handle. That's a hard one. And if a child is questioning existence and God and all that, that's just going to create more anger towards God. You know, and the other one we had already talked about, now you're the man or the woman of the house. Mm-hmm. That's not helpful. They're too young for those responsibilities. But basically, I think don't be afraid to say you don't know what to say and then listen. I think the best thing you can do for anybody who's grieving, child or adult, is to be there to listen. And don't come with your own story. That can come later.
We hope you will listen in June for this episode. You can find out more information about this upcoming episode and all of our other episodes on our website. Have a great day.
Thank you so much for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. If you'd like to hear more episodes from Anchor, check out the links provided on our website or our episode Learn event. Just enter MFLN Anchored Podcast in your search engine to get you there. We offer continuing education credits for this programming. Information about that can be found on our website, or you can just email our team, mflnfamilydevelopment@gmail.com. We hope you will join us next time.